Yeah.
This step is always, there's like two schools of very different thought on this step. And I tried them both, and I think I tried the way that you suggested wrongly. In praying for specifics, pray for, it was a very self-centered, egotistical part of me that prayed for things, for specifics. And then when I came back to the program, I prayed for, it said in there, pray only for the knowledge of His will and the power to carry that out. And that's what I've been the last year and 4 months or so, that's what I've been praying for. That is it. I don't ask for anything for myself or anything. And in praying that way, it's like a real quick prayer, and it doesn't take a lot of time to do it. And part of me says it's right, and part of me says, you know, I should go into maybe more detail or whatever. I feel like I'm just sitting down going through the motions, because when you say a prayer like that when you get on your knees at night for, you know, over a year, it gets old, and I feel that there's something that I'm missing in a relationship with God. I try to talk to Him during the day as I'm going through my day. You know, if a problem comes up or if something good happens, I thank Him for it. But there doesn't seem to be anything concrete that's there that I can... it's like sometimes I'll reach out and I'll really feel it's there. And then the same exact set of circumstances could come up 2 days later and I can reach out and I don't feel like there's anything there. I feel like it's self-will again.
Well, this is why what you're talking about now is why I was talking to Jim there about in the third step prayer. To believe, to make a decision to turn your life and will over the care of God, as you understood it, right? The action part to do that is what I'm talking about, the application of actually living a life as an alcoholic today, banking and living on a power, a higher power, you name it. The book is pretty clear about this now, what the way they put it to the newcomer or anybody that, you know, says you can have your own conception of God, provided. It makes sense. It's power greater than you, and you live by spiritual principles. That just about covers everything you can put there, you know, for any argument or rationalizing or anything else like that. To me, it started out as a power greater than me, then a higher power, then into a named God. Another man told me how to call him. When to say his name, even. I didn't know. I didn't have anything like that in my life. Then it became necessary, what you're talking about, to keep it alive to the point of where it's a source of supply, where I'm banking strictly on whatever God's going to give me to do, to have the power to do it, whether it's a job, whether it's a thought, whatever it is, doesn't make a difference. I must go to my Heavenly Father first for the power to do that. In other words, I can't take hold of the reins and then turn them over to Him because it's going to get rough up there and I can't handle it. My banking on it has to be a thought process first with me, prayer first, and then an actual living that part of that prayer out. If I ask God, the very first thing I wanted, for the first year in Alcoholics Anonymous, I ate breakfast with Bob over there and drive it on damage, and I thought that was the biggest miracle I ever seen in my life. You know, here I was eating bacon that was hardly cooked, and eggs, and potatoes and toast and all kinds of things and oatmeal and all this, you know, and I thought, God, what a life, you know. A true miracle going on in my life, you know. Never once thinking, thanking God, or looking towards that direction even for what was going on. Even to have the money to pay for it. Even to have the opportunity to walk in there. I used to fly tickets, work on your car, I fly the ticket, so you know, and it pastes on the back and that's how you get paid, you know. And it goes by time, so, you know, a time clock or a watch, you know. So every time I looked at a watch, every time I looked at a clock, every time I thought of time, I thought of God. And it would be 15 minutes, I forgot about that. I'd say, I'm sorry, God, I left you for 15 minutes, I'm back. I'm up my old tricks again, I'm trying to run the show. All I was doing was trying to stay away from me. All I was doing was trying to follow directions on how to keep God alive in my life so that I wouldn't become the main man. I didn't know how to stay with God all day. I didn't know how to pray to God or already fix cars. I didn't know He could fix cars even. You know, I didn't know He could find parts. He can't. he can do many things. See? All I have to do is be willing to allow him to be in my life so he can perform for me. And he will. Because all of the power, all the... I used to go around, man, I was lucky, luckiest guy in the world. First, I was lucky when I was drinking because I didn't get killed. And then I was lucky in sobriety for having all the things that were presented to me. And that's God's nickname. That's where I learned it. Then I never gave him credit. But all of a sudden, I was starting to believe. All of a sudden, I was starting to take a little bit. I found out that all I have to do is take a lot. Stay with him. Stay with him a lot. And he'll give you a lot. That's the truth. Every time I'm alone, every time I'm away from him, I have to develop some kind of brain from memory, from the past, to satisfy whatever it is I'm doing. Yeah.
I didn't mean to interrupt, Bob. I just want to get your attention. In my program, having heard, had the benefit of this discussion with you before, I've come to believe that in every transaction of my life, no matter how small it is, I have the choice between the exercise of my free will and the exercise of my spiritual power, which to me is to reach for the element of God within me. I believe that we're born with a molecule of God in us, and that's like a supercomputer chip that has in it everything that is possible in human experience. And so that whenever we go to God, the answer is already there. And that as I follow my spiritual path and go to Him, I am doing His will for me that day because He is telling me which file is more important and where to find the paper that I stuck in the wrong file. When I do it by my free will, then I'm on my own without any God power. And I can be successful or not. The betting odds are about as long as my going out and drinking like a gentleman again. So I try not to do that. And so in my interpretation of what you are telling me is that in every transaction, no matter how small it is, it's not asking God for what I want, but asking God what He wants for me.
For your performance, right.
And my choosing to go down the spiritual path or go down the the self-will, the free will path.
Right. See,
so am I understanding that correctly?
Sure. Now, see, what Jack has said there now, see, it was an understanding like that, what he's got there, and what he said, see, I'll do the third step prayer with him, see, if he hasn't done it. And we'd say we're just beginning or something. Because the impact it will have on his life, he's already has it. He already knows what it is to make a decision to turn his life and will into the care of God. So he's more apt to be, even if he takes it back, he's going to be aware of what he's doing. And he stands a chance of going back to God. And it's easier every time you go back to him. Once you have the knowledge of what it is for an alcoholic to live by God, to live by His power, because it's a personal thing. It's an individual thing. If you don't want a lot of it, you don't have to have a lot of it. Because your own satisfaction of where you're at is going to be all right with you. Because that's where you're comfortable at, and that's all you want then. Me, I don't want that. I have that. I don't want that. I want more. I want all that I can have presented to me by God to do His will, what He wants done, not what I want to. That's His will.
I need to discern. I can't discern all the time what my will is, what His will is.
Well, that's why we're at right now is the third step is to be able to make a decision, turn your life and your will over. Once you recognize what your life and will is, then God's will for you will be separate from yours.
And discernible. I'll be able to
see it. Right. Your little plans and designs, see, in step two, remember when we were reading about, it says, when we sincerely took such a position, all sorts of remarkable things followed. We had a new employer. Being all-powerful, He provided what we needed. If we kept close to Him and performed His work well, Established on such a footing, we became less and less interested in ourselves, our little plans and designs. More and more, we became interested in seeing what we could contribute to life. That's why two is so important to understand before you make a decision. Jack said it real well. I'm glad you're here, Jack. I'm glad you said what you did, because that's exactly what it's all about, as far as I'm concerned. Because it's so easy to make a decision and then not live by it. For an alcoholic, it's just damn simple. When the going gets too bad, then you can always run back to God. But in the meantime, I used to say that I was willing to suffer the consequences for what I was doing. Imagine that. That's how dumb I was. That's so dumb. That's so dumb. That's like, I heard a guy say, you know, it's better to believe it, there is a God and die and find out there isn't one, rather than not believe there is a God and die and find out there is one. Yeah?
I'm fairly new at this feeling of turning my will over to the care of God. But there's one feeling I get when I know for sure that I haven't done that, and that's it's like a knot in my stomach and a lump in my throat. Or just real uncomfortable. And if I take the time to stop and think about it, then I know I'm doing something I'm not supposed to be doing. That's making me feel real uncomfortable. It's just, and it's recent that I'm aware of that. Because for the first probably 9 months in the program, I just kept feeling uncomfortable. And then finally, it was pointed out to me that maybe that's what the problem was. So I have to, you know, and I forget. Every day I forget to stop and thank God or turn my will over to mine, get right in the middle of something and try to control it and make everything, you know, go the way I want it to go. And I have to really work hard at stop doing that, you know, because I don't want to be that way anymore. But I've been living 38 years a different way. So now I have to try to live another way. From people in the program, the things that they tell me, and trusting that what they say to me, you know, it gets better. It's not really a question, it's just a comment on what you said.
Yeah, you know, see, for a long time I thought a lot of things was based on time, you know. Now my sponsor had 9 years when I yelled for help. He came in December of 43, and I came in 52. And I would tell him that if I had 9 years of sobriety, I'd act like you act, you know. And he'd take his finger and point his finger at my nose all the time. And he said, it's not the quantity, it's the quality. And I never knew what he meant by that. So then later on, I find out about steps and the application and everything, and I find out that this time element that I based everything on is never there. So God rewards me in the day I'm in with Him. He doesn't reward me today because of yesterday's happenings or yesterday's work. See? And so all of the things that I ever wanted was always in the future. And I'd never seen the main event, and that's now. See, I was always banking. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get better. I'm going to get closer to God tomorrow. I never got here. That's the truth. And so this is what I'm telling you right now. It doesn't make any difference. You just took your 1 year birthday. It doesn't make any difference in my book about that 1 year. I got 34 years. It doesn't make any damn difference at all. It's only in the day I'm in with God that counts. Because the power I get to survive this day, to live this day, to do these things this day, and the rewards are always coming in this day, happens because of God's and my relationship with Him today. How well I trust Him, how well I go to Him, how I keep Him alive, how I bank on His power. See? That has to be a living thing in my life. Otherwise I lose it. Otherwise it's put aside for some reason. The reason is generally me. Always me. So, don't get caught up in time. It's nice to have 20 years. But I'd rather be young right now than I would be old. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I get caught up in riding that spiritual fence a lot. When you said that you're willing to pay the price for your actions, I've done that many times. And as I start to learn, I'm trying to learn the principles by which I'm living. And when I learn a principle and I get off the spiritual fence and I say, God, I don't want to run anybody off the road today, help me. And I've had to take it away out of life. I used to say, God, I want to be a better person today. Or make me a better person. I'd just turn it all to him. I'd say, you do it, you know, because what I didn't want to do was do any of it. You know, I wanted it to just happen. Like when I wanted to quit smoking, I'd say, God, remove the obsession for cigarettes. And as I was picking one out of the pack and lighting it, I was saying, God, remove the obsession from cigarettes, and when you have, then I'll stop smoking, you know. And that's what it always was, you know. When I'd steal, I'd say, God, help me not to steal, you know. And then I'd steal. So what I'm finally doing more is that I'm changing that. I'm saying, God, I don't want to steal today. I want to be a person that does not steal. Give me the strength to do that. God, I don't want to lie to anybody today. Give me the strength not to do that. Now, that's getting off the spiritual fence for me. And that's when I can do those, then I really feel I'm turning my will and my life over to the care of God. And I'm behaving in a way, like you said, that I think, because I don't know yet.
Yeah, the way I hear you, that you're partly right, but you're partly wrong, too. To use God as to pacify you this day in your actions and all that, I know it doesn't work. See, I know it doesn't, because I tried it. It doesn't work. It's like when the first thing I asked God to do for me was to get rid of my anger and hostility, because I couldn't work with anybody. I was really a son of a gun. So, and I didn't know how to put it to him or anything else like that, but that's the way I put it. And it was. And at that time it was okay, but later on, that wouldn't have been necessary at all. Because if I believe and I trust God, and I believe that God's my will and my life is in His care, the kind of life that I'm going to have now is like it taught me in a Sermon on the Mount. It's all happening out there right now, but I don't see it. It doesn't affect me. It isn't a part of my life. I don't have to worry about cussing, swearing, and watch myself and ask God, take that away from me, you know, because I'm doing something here that, you know, I don't need to do it that way. To do God's will for me is to be the man that He wants me to be. The man He wants me to be is not the man that's going to do the things you're talking about. I don't have to put it to Him as a burden or something that I've got to get off of me and He's going to handle it for today. See? No, I don't have to. That's my original way of thinking. I thought that God, you go to God with this problem, like you're talking about right now, like I had too. And I'm going to tell God to make me a better man today so I don't have to steal. Give me a job or do something. That isn't what I'm talking about at all. That isn't my belief in God. My belief in God is that as I live this day, through His power, I'm going to do and be the man He wants me to be. So that I don't have to think in terms of living like you're talking about, or I have talked about a long time ago. Can you understand what I'm saying now?
You didn't let me finish.
Oh, no, I didn't understand that.
Yeah.
Okay, so the demands that I put on God and that you put on God are wrong. That's the wrong way.
Why? Well, you're saying that it's wrong to ask Him to remove the obsessions?
No, I didn't say that. No.
So what are you saying?
I said for me to perform that day, when I'm with God, under His care, it isn't necessary to have that in my life as an obsession or anything else. It won't be there. My will make it there. If I'm operating or thinking or using my will, well, it'll be there. My old thoughts are always there. My old way of life is like an elephant. I never forget nothing. But if I had to go through this life today, right now, if I had to go through it, worrying or thinking that they're there and they're going to kill me because I'm going to use them again, that's the way I was. I used to think, you know, see, everything is going on in front of me right now. Everything is there. I used to think I had to create things like you're talking about, and I used to talk about. I had to become a good man through my relationship with God, so that this stuff would I could give it to him, and he'll take it one by one, you know, like he does defects of character. I thought that as I present it to him, then he'll take it. That's it. And I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you that the way of life with God, through making a decision, is going to eliminate that need. That's more or less what Mary Lou was talking about with Chuck C., is that he didn't find all of that necessary because he's with them all the time. His relationship with God is so strong that he's doing God's will, and no harm's there. See, that's that affirmative prayer. That's practicing the presence of God. Got you.
With this question about smoking, Bob, as an application of what you're just now telling us, if I would pray to God to be the man today he wants me to be, and that man does not smoke and does not crave smoking, you're telling me that I could, if I were complete in my surrender, eliminate smoking one day at a time without any more difficulty than I personally had when they told me that I sobriety meant not voluntarily consuming any alcohol, and I had no problem about accepting that. But I, of course, with smoking, I have a great deal of problems. And not being able to smoke in this house right now is a problem for me. You know, we're only here for an hour or so. It's probably the fact that I can't smoke here rather than how long it's been since I had my last cigarette. But is that what you're trying to tell me? That
I would have
to go
right
through what I went through when I gave up smoking on my willpower for 3 years and had 3 years of white knuckling it?
Yeah, right. Yeah, the way of life the way of life I'm talking about through God's power will be eliminated. That will be out of there. It won't be there. It won't be a factor. But if you're going to stick your two bits in, every time when I was learning, I had to go to God and apologize to God because I was always putting my two bits in all the time. I was stopping His action all the time. I was always sitting on a throne. He hardly ever sat on the throne. Very rare. That's what I'm telling you, exactly that. It's up to you. It's an inside job. It's your personal relationship with God, how well you want to be in His eyes. It's up to you, because there's where you have to. I have to answer to my God. It's up to you.
So each time during the day when I exercise my free will and say I want a cigarette, what I have to do is say, that's free will, jump back on the spiritual path, God, help me to be the man you want me to be.
How did you stop drinking?
They told me one day at a time for the rest of my life I never had to take a drink again if I didn't want to.
Same thing I'm saying, too.
And I said to myself, thank God I can stop trying to manage my booze. And I had no problem about not drinking.
That's a total surrender. You gave it a total surrender. You did.
So that was the moment, probably the only moment since I've come to this program, when I was totally 100% surrendered and willing to do anything it took.
It says in the book that the first step is the only step that you can take 100%.
Yeah.
Run.
Yeah, you know, I have a lot of problems sometimes with letting some things go to God, you know, and taking them back. And it's really starting to bother me over a period of, you know, a few years. Now, I know Chuck C., when he talked about being with God all the time, and to see he didn't get that in a matter of just a few years. Now, he had 30-some years, you have 30-some years. What I'm trying to say is this is a slow, gradual process, I would think, of totally. Now, what it is I am a tremendous worrier. Let's take me for an example. Now, I can turn something over to God, but to say, there goes the curtain, now it's in your hand, I'm going to forget about it forever, and you'll take care of it, I can't do that. I'll be honest, I can't do that on a lot of big things. And it's in the back of my mind. Now, a lot of little things. It's little things. That's no big deal. But there are certain things that's come up. And I do the footwork, and I say, okay, I've done the footwork. Now, here, take it. An hour later, I'm thinking, now, I wonder what I should do. You know, this type of stuff. Now, there's got to be a formula. There's got to be some way
Because I, like you say, I like to get in there and play with it. I'm not going to let him have it all completely yet on everything. I mean, this is where I'm having a tremendous amount of problems here with the putting it, doing the footwork, doing it. And usually it always turns out good.
Right.
You know,
this is why I said to him about taking the third step prayer. See, you know, this very reason. See, it wouldn't do. See, if he took the third step prayer now, see, the chances are that he's going to take it back. See, and he's more apt to take it back. I don't know if he will or not, but he's more apt to. Because the full understanding of what you're doing is not there. You know, what you're saying is true. I've done the same damn thing. But don't get caught up into the saying that I have so much time now and it's easy for me to say this and that, because it's not. That isn't true. See, that's not true at all. I have the same. I'm the same man as I always have been. The only difference is that I stay closer to God now than I have for a lot of years. But that doesn't make it right. It only makes it right when I'm there.
But I meant repetition over a period of time.
No, like it doesn't
starting out in a job.
It don't come that way. See, it only comes in the day you're in.
But see, I at an old timers meeting a couple of years ago at the convention, I heard a guy speak, and he said he had 17 years in the program before he really let go, and then he's had 15 years of good sobriety. Now, what I'm saying is it took him 17 years to actually turn his will in his life. But what I'm saying is we did when we start out as a mechanic. Let's say you or me as a parts manager, Jim as a we start out as a novice. We start out learning little by little by little. And we get better as time goes on. And this is what I'm saying with it. I see a lot of people with, like you say, 10, 15, 20 years at least, that the world could fall down around them. And I say, well, that's the way it's supposed to be today. And I don't think that, to me, I'm wondering, you're saying it doesn't make any difference a year or two, but I don't see how anybody, from my personal view, can get that type of serenity.
Well, do you honestly believe that God could give you serenity? Do you believe that God can do these things?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Okay, then why would you doubt it now, and why would you put a limit on it, or why would you handicap God today?
That's what I'm asking you.
I know. Why? Okay, we just got through talking about step one, and first about alcoholism, and then about step one, and then step two. Okay. And then we also mentioned about ego and about the meeting last night. See, well, the guy drew me a picture. See, it came out of a book. I got the book even. I'd never seen the book before this. He drew a picture. It was a chair. And it was called a throne. And it's where God sits. And he says, well, when you sit there, God can't sit there. He said, because there's only room for one there, you know. He said, but when God's there, then you can't be there. He said, so why don't you make up your mind and let God stay there? And I thought, Jesus, you know, that's pretty simple, you know. Letting God be the main man. See, I never could let go like you can't let go right now. See, you're thinking like in terms of you have to do something. You must be a part of it. You're going to have to create or change or push and shove or be a part of the action. And I'm telling you, you don't have to. I'm telling you that this year when they say, is, you know, I used to think like little Father Ted used to give us a little white flag all the time, you know. And all that represented really was surrender. See, you know, and it was in chapter 3 and step 3. And so if you want to hang on to something that's giving you trouble, if you want to hang on to something that's disturbing to your head and affects your life, if you want to delay your own progress with God, there's nobody who can stop you. God won't even stop you because he allows you, like Jack said, to express your own free will. But if you want to change, and if you want a peace of mind, if you want to have the things you know are genuine and real, because they're there, the only way you can have them that I know of is go through the process of steps and God today. Now, if you don't understand it, you can only perform and be the man you are. I can only be the man I am, Lloyd, all of them. You can only be that man because that's all you've got to give. But when you've got God behind you, directing, powering you, giving you ideas, giving you thoughts, then you're a different man. You've got a hold of something now. And I'll read you in the book exactly words just like that. Hell, on page 100. page 100, it says, both you and the new man must walk day by day in a path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. When we look back, we'll realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. Follow the dictates of the higher power, and you will presently live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what your present circumstances. Page 100. All through this book, 164 pages, they're speaking of a relationship for an alcoholic to live differently than he ever dreamed possible, to have a power going for you because of step 3 of making a decision to turn your life and will over to the care of God. Your life and your will is your very being. That's all you are. There's nothing else. To be that man today, God will let you have all the things that are necessary so the fight is over. So the ideas don't have to be there anymore. They're not squirrely. You don't have to doubt things. You can present yourself for what you have, and that's all you are. And that's all you want to be anyway. That's all I want to be. I don't want to correct people or I don't want to push and shove and make you think that you have to believe this. Hell, I can't do that. God can do that for you. But I can tell you this, what I'm saying is true. And not because I say so, because God says so. Because if he did it to me and did it to the people before me and has done it after me, he'll do it to you too.
In that tape that I was talking about, I just got Chuck C put in a good way for me. He was talking about turning things over to God and then all of a sudden saying, oh, and by the way, I don't think you really know all there is to know about this situation, so I'll step in here and help a little bit too. And it's like, you're back to sitting in the chair. That's a good example for me too, sitting in the chair. It's like, okay, I'm going to turn my finances over to God, but God, I don't understand. I don't think you really understand all there is to know about bank accounts, so I'm going to get in here and help you. Too, and there I am, right back in the chair one more time, whatever it is.
How about you,
Ray? I understand what Ron is saying and others, because I'm the same way. When I first listened to you, you talked to me about this very thing probably 4 years ago, and at that time I was listening, I was able and willing to listen because I was in trouble inside of me.
Sure.
I felt like I was going crazy. And you began to open my eyes to some things. You told me I had a new employer, mm-hmm. and that God had to be in my life and I had to get rid of my ego. And I was ready to accept that. And up until then, asking God to release me from the bondage of self up till it had no meaning, because I didn't even know there was a bondage of self.
Right.
I didn't even know what that was. And it all, the bondage of self had always been there, and self-will had always been there. And I just felt so relieved. For example, last night at that meeting, when the leader said, he talked about the problem he had with ego and said, tonight the topic, I want the topic to be ego. How do we get rid of the ego? And the first thing that came into my mind when he said this, boy, that's a good topic. I've got a lot of good things to say about that that really impressed me. I can laugh about that, but I know that's just a sign of a kind of a malignant ego that's still there underneath the surface, and it's still cropping up a lot. Now I know, just from what you taught me and other things I've learned, I'm a lot better. I'm a lot more comfortable, and I know my ego is not what it once was. You know, I'm more comfortable now. Almost most of the time that I've ever been in my life, but it's still there. And every time I have trouble or I'm not feeling good, I know it's there and it's coming back. And of course, when I listen to you talk about where you are, I always wonder how did you, an alcoholic like you say you were, how did you make that switch, that turnaround? How did you get to the place where from a self-will run riot alcoholic to having God in your life every minute. I haven't been able to do that yet, or I haven't allowed it to happen.
You haven't allowed it to happen.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, because I always thought that, you know, you had to do something. You had to create something, or you had to make something happen. And everything is happening right now, whether you know it or not. You know, you might not see it or understand it, but it's going on anyway. The only thing you have to do is get with it, and then you will be part of it. So you know, get with it and be part of it means your relationship with heaven. It has to be that strong on your side to go with God, and then He'll take you with Him. But He won't force you to go in unless you want to go. You have to understand this and know this. Because if you call upon Him, He's always there, right? So why not be there so you don't have to call upon Him? Why don't you make that part of your life? The way you do it is the way I said, you keep it alive. You discuss, you talk, you think, always. With God. And He gives you the power to do all of the things that are necessary differently than you ever did before. It never fails. It doesn't. Even Dr. Bob, the end of Dr. Bob's story, the very, very last thing he says in there, it says, it never fails if you go about it with what happened to Zelia in the habit of showing when you were getting another drink. Your Heavenly Father will never let you down. See, that the man believes that. See, he really honestly believed that. He lived that way. By living that way, it happened that way. The hard part, Lloyd, is for someone or an alcoholic is not to be in front. To always let God be in front. That's the hard part. It has to be a conscious thing. Remember we were talking about ego, how ego doesn't know that it's should be stopped, it will be stopped. It just assumes it has the right to go ahead and keep going, regardless. That's a hell of a thing to have in your life as an alcoholic. Each and every one of us have it. It assumes the right to go ahead, regardless. Ego. No matter how deep and how troubled you are, how bad you're acting, it assumes the right to go ahead and do more. That's ego for an alcoholic. And the only God stop it. No human power can stop it. That's how the knowledge they have, really. Saved me. I want to be the main man all the time. Find out. There's nothing I can do about it myself, but with God I can. I can be the man to stop it. Not by my power, by God's power. You know, I was reading where they gave. He gave this guy in the Alcoholics Anonymous humility pin lapel. You know, the first time he wore it, they took it away from him. like last night at the meeting, you know, I did that deliberately with Pete. You know, Pete said I had 32 years.
Yeah.
I got to correct him. I told him 34. I wouldn't be allowed to get away with that.
let me ask it. I mean, it's a real elementary kind of a basic question. I've always seemed to have a little trouble with it. The way I was raised, I believe that there was a God somewhere out there beyond our universe that ran the whole show, being raised in the Catholic religion. And that was something that I prayed to in the fashion I was taught then. And then since I've been in AA, I've heard everybody's got a different conception. And maybe that's at the point I'm at now, is trying to find a true conception I can hang on to. Do you find that God is within? Do you pray to a God within you or a God out there somewhere?
Well, the God is in me. It has to be in me. To be a personal God, He has to be here. Because it's my life that He's got a hold of. The only thing you got to understand and acknowledge or recognize the fact here, the only thing you read that, right? What's he got? He's got a yellow. Jim's got yellow. I had a baby that he started out like that, and the next time I looked at his book, it was all yellow. It was
yeah, that's
true. There was no white left.
Mine's going to be all over long.
Every word is dynamic.
Yes. Well, you know, it's up to you. You know, Rob, if you want, whatever you want, you can have in any degree that you want it in. See, because that's possible. See, in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know? And so, if how you are, how you look at it, is strictly an inside job. You know, so there's nobody out here that could say right or wrong or more or less or anything else like that, because that's going to be a relationship that you have with God. You have to answer to only to God. You don't answer to people. I don't answer to people. I don't have to prove myself to you or you or you. I don't need to. It isn't necessary. But your feelings or your ideas or your inner self will tell you exactly where you're at with God. So you can't get away from it. If God keeps hammering on your head, keeps giving you something to think about, something that looks cockeyed out there, it should be changed, and keeps after it like that, you better listen to him, because that's God's way of displaying himself to you and showing you the difference. Because you're alone one time and you didn't see that. Now you're not alone because you're allowed, by coming in Alcoholics Anonymous, even the first step, allows you to be a part of this. When you're at a meeting, just think how strong, how many gods are in that meeting. They're all one, but they're coming from all of these different people. We go to a Wednesday night stag over there, and I'll tell you, the power and the force in that room is something tremendous. A lot of guys call it enchanted, or miracles, or magical, baloney. It's God's power displaying itself for each and every one of them there. You can't deny it, because you'll see it happen there. You'll hear words you'll never hear anywhere else. God wants you to hear these words. He makes it possible that you sit there and listen to them. And that's right, too. The ones that don't listen are the ones that are out there drinking. The ones that would get up and walk away from you. I've had a lot of guys do that. I've gone to hospitals and a guy would turn right over in bed. You don't want to hear. Now I go up and say, my name's Anderson. I'm an alcoholic. I haven't drank for 34 years. You want to talk to them? He rolls over in bed. That's okay. And yeah, I'll go to the next one. Strictly a message, no more.
Haven't you found that the one advantage of long sobriety is that you have more evidence than I have that God will never let you down? I mean, I just have a little bit of that.
No, you got it all wrong again. See, you're limiting and you're making this God thinking in terms that he can only do so much for you, but he can do a lot for me. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't. It couldn't work that way. When you first got here, what was the attraction for you? Why did you come to Alcoholics Anonymous?
Well, life was a mess.
So, what did you see?
Some people whose life was a mess that didn't seem like it was anymore.
Were they all 34 years sober?
Nope.
How sober were some of them?
8, 10, 5 years, 6 years.
Some less than that, too. Yeah. A lot less. So, it's all over. It's what you yourself want in sobriety, what you believe that you should have, your needs. How well you want it, how much you want it. You give a little, you're going to get a little. I'm going to tell you that. Go to a couple of meetings, you're going to get a couple of meetings worth of whatever it is. Go to a lot of meetings, you're going to get a lot. Pick on a sponsor that's going to hammer on you steps and listen, sit and listen to them. Try to do what you can do about it as an application. See what happens to you. See where you go. Look back at meetings. Go to a meeting. I was taught to go to meetings right from the word go. To listen carefully to everything that's said at a meeting. Not to judge people, but to see where you're at. Because I'd go to a meeting and I was brand new and I'd see people there just like me. And I'd hear other people that were so far away from me, they were like my sponsor. I'd never get there. And it's been that way even today. Last night, same way. I go to their meetings, I hear guys talk, and I marvel at some of them. Some of them I know that they're only doing and saying the things they know. There's more to be had for them, too. I'm in a lucky place. That's that lucky guy telling me. I'm there, and I have what I have only because I'm where I'm at with God. Tomorrow when he gets here, it's going to be the same way over again. You can't go on memory. You can't. It's like trying to read this book once and then remember the rest of it the rest of your life. It's like shaving seven times a day. You have to shave the rest of the week. Same thing. Alfie even tried that. I'm talking about, yeah, good. Okay.
Five minutes? No, you go 5 more.
We haven't had any coffee yet. Anyway, tell you what, if any of you guys want to take the third step of prayer, if you want to do it here, if you believe that you understand and know what the words mean and what the action is on your part as an application with God, and you haven't done the third step prayer, you should do it. It's up to you. Whatever you want. I've taken it 1,000 times.
Why did you say we haven't done it? Even if you've done it, can't we do it?
You can do it. Yeah, I've done it many times myself. Sure, I've done it. Done it more times than I can remember. But it's how you feel. It's what you believe, and what it does to you is what counts.
Step 3, we can practice with success only when step 3 is given to turn the pursuits of trial. So there's hope for those of us that have a hard time with this step, meaning that you don't just surrender like that. I mean, I see it as a constant process.
Yeah, you're right about what you're saying. Sure it is, sure. I said that before. I said it's a daily living thing that never ends. It never ends, your relationship. And making a decision. In the beginning, you have to make a beginning. So the beginning is making a decision.
Oh, and then the other thing I want to ask you is act as if. What do you think about that? What do you think about acting as if? You hear people say that all the time.
What do I think what?
About acting as if.
Well, I don't believe you have to do that. I hear that too, you know, fake it until it's real. Any way it works is okay. I mean, I would quarrel with nothing, really. I'm so glad to be. The only thing is, I know that when I tried it one way, I had a sponsor who was a God man. But there was something lacking. But what was lacking in my life was the understanding of what it is that I'm supposed to do in 3. I thought that when you read that and read the prayer, that was all that was necessary. See? Because when you go in the 4th step, all you're going to do is write. That's all that's necessary. You ain't going to do anything else. But there's more. There's my whole life is in 3. Right today, my life is in 3.
Maybe that's a gift.
The gift is that you're here. No. The gift is you're here. Did you qualify for what you've got today?
Yeah.
Did you? You didn't qualify for this life here today from where you come from, did you?
I qualified to be here.
Well, you qualified to be here by being an alcoholic.
Yeah.
But you didn't qualify by God's grace to get here. In other words, you weren't such a good person that God says, I better take you off the streets and put you in AA. You know, because my actions were certainly weren't that way. I didn't qualify for what God gave me today. So it's up to you how much you want to believe. If you want to believe that God is all and He can do everything for you, this is why it's so important to understand what your life and will is. To see, it's like saying, I believe in God, I pray to God, and my life is a mess. It don't work. My life don't work. But yet I pray to God. Just got through talking about that. Walking a spiritual fence, there ain't no such thing. Either you are or you are God.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation.